Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 61 and going into chapter 62, found on page 790 of the Pew Bible. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ child. Amen. You know, there are some things that travel a long ways. I have tried hunting deer here in Iowa, and you know, you have to use a shotgun, and I'm originally from North Dakota, and there you use high-powered rifles. So there's quite a difference in the range that you have in that bullet. Another thing that travels a long ways is the radar that police use. You know how that works. It reaches out and it has you clocked before you have a chance to slow down. You know, those cameras on 380, even though they cost you money, are far less painful. You don't have to deal with the state trooper. That radar, in whatever form it comes, is the law in action. And as we look at our text this morning from Luke 2, we will ponder the question, is there any escape from the long arm of the law? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the long arm of the law reaches out inescapably, which is our first point. We all live under obligations, don't we? We have to pay taxes. We should vote. That's a right and a privilege. We should be involved in the communities in which we live. We have a responsibility to honor our leaders, and most importantly, to pray for those who are in authority. On another level, we have the long reach of our various vocations. How can we or anybody keep all the obligations of vocation? We're called to love and cherish our spouse. Parents are to teach their children. We are to obey and esteem our parents. We are to carry out the various functions of our job through which we earn a living. And yet, in the forefront of all of that, stand the commandments of God. How can we or anybody possibly obtain to the demands of God's laws? It seems no matter where we turn, we're always running into obligations of the law. And the stark reality is that we have failed. We do not measure up. The Bible says, for all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. However, there is good news in that the longer arm of grace has reached into our world, which is our second point. God's grace manifests itself to the world in the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is born under the law. That's what Paul says in our epistle lesson. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And Jesus is circumcised according to the law. Jesus is fulfilling all things for all people. Jesus puts himself within the reach of the long arm of the law, obligating himself to fulfill every demand. We read in our text, and when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord. That long arm of the law demanded Jesus' perfect duty to the Lord, As the firstborn son, he belonged to the Lord. He had a life which demanded perfect obedience to his earthly parents. And we see evidence in the life of Christ as to what he was willing to do on our behalf. Jesus is presented there at the temple as the one whose service will complete every demand of the law. What we could not or have not done, Jesus has done perfectly for us. Paul writes in Romans 8, "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." That, my friends, has been done for you. The longer arm of grace has fulfilled all of the law. And it is in grace that you and I find consolation. In fact, at the end of this arm, we find the loving and pierced hands of Jesus, who would cry out from the cross, "It is finished." All of our sins have been paid for. All of our sins are forgiven. It is that completed redeeming work of Jesus that brings us peace and joy amidst the sorrows that we often have to deal with. In our text, we meet Simeon. He rejoices at the longer arm of grace as evidenced in the presence of Jesus. John wrote in his gospel, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was realized, was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." But recall the words of Jesus, or of Simeon, excuse me, as Jesus is presented in the temple. They are the words that make up the Nunc Dimittis, which we sing after the Lord's Supper is received. "Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And then we see a very similar reaction in the prophetess Anna. "And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem." That longer arm of grace redeems. The perfect life of Jesus has fulfilled all that was demanded of us. Jesus says, "These are my words which I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And then Luke says at the end of our text, "And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. And the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him." Finally, the longer arm of grace reaches out to you today. we come, we gather in the divine service, in the presence of God, to hear and realize that our sins are forgiven. The longer arm of grace has touched us in the waters of holy baptism. Our baptism is something that we remember each and every day because our baptism was into the death and resurrection of Christ. As Paul said, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." And though I suspect sometimes we take it for granted, but another tremendous blessing we receive is when our pastor announces in the absolution that our sins are forgiven. And we come to the communion rail, where we receive Jesus' body and blood in, with, and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins. And forgiven and empowered, God says, "Get out of this building. I'm sending you out into the world. And it is out in the world that you are in your mission field. And it is out there that you will interact with both Christian and non-Christian." And sad to say, our nation is not becoming any more Christian. I would be willing to say it's becoming less Christian. So our mission field is not getting smaller, but it is getting bigger. No matter how long the arm of the law may seem, the longer arm of grace received in Christ Jesus is far greater. And it says to us over and over again, "Be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven you." In Jesus' name and completed work of redemption, amen.